Don't really care about the economy. Don't care much about democracy. I'm a member of the GOP, trying to form a plutocracy. But if I can just bamboozle you, and you'll share my narrow point of view, what a wonderful world this would be.
Well, the week is week counting down. Week from today, going to hand the reins over all three branches of our government, our economy, the future of our nation, the future for our children. Going to hand it all over to Donald J. Trump and the Republicans. And look, the world kind of freaking out. Yesterday we talked about the EMEA, the European, Middle Eastern, and African Sovereign Ratings Group over at Fitch, freaking out, saying, look, the amount of debt that Trump's tax cuts could bring could threaten our AAA ratings. You see stories coming from the New York Times that the economist field, who just had a big meeting in Chicago recently, they're all freaking out because, well, the direction the Donald is going to take us, frightening at best. Well, here to talk a little bit about that, give us some thoughts on maybe, you know, maybe what's going to happen after a week from today. I've asked our good friend Mateus Vernengo, professor of economics at Bucknell University, also a fantastic blogger over at nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rick.
You know, so I look at some of these reports and some of the stories that I'm seeing that folks like you who attended that big meeting last week kind of freaking out about where we're heading.
Yeah, sure. There are lots of people. There is a lot of uncertainty for sure about what he will do. And you know, I want to emphasize that, we talked several times last year. I think that he is going to be very dangerous on many levels. You know, as somebody said in the meeting, he has perfected the model of, bankruptcy for profit. And by essentially cheating his workers and cheating his creditors, so that's the business model. So there's serious reasons to be concerned, but I would be less concerned about an immediate recession and the sort of immediate dangers to the economy. There are, what I think is the worst part at this point is that we have no clue of what he's going to do. He has suggested, certainly during the campaign, that he was going to be more protectionist than and would sort of kill free trade agreements, something that it's not necessarily a bad idea. I thought he would be more clearly converging to, Republican talking points and become a sort of a, last minute free trade guy, which, by the way, has happened with people in the Democratic Party too. So certainly. Obama himself was, So he doesn't seem to be on that path. He has appointed a tough negotiator for the commerce position. Somebody that says, I mean, I'm not particularly optimistic about the chances of bringing back lots of manufacturing jobs, but and his tactic of like the carrier thing, keeping a few jobs here and there might not be, the best way of doing this, but at the end of the day, he seems to be stuck in his guns on this and the notion that there is need for revising trade agreements and to have a tougher sort of negotiating stance and to try to bring some manufacturing jobs back. He has also said, in his press conference, again, kind of a surprise, that Big Pharma was getting away with murder, which, Bernie Sanders says he's right.
Right. No, I say he's right. Look, I mean, when he's right, you got to be on that side. I mean, the trade stuff.
And again, I'm not saying that he's going to do a lot for that, but here again, the nuances of this thing, so Bernie Sanders talked about this issue because he had an amendment that basically would allow people to buy medicines, from Canada. And that was killed not because of an all-Republican vote. Several Republicans did vote to kill that, for sure. But also because of 12 Democrats,
right,
including Bob Casey here from Pennsylvania, that voted to basically protect the interests of Big Pharma, as Cory Booker too, which might be a sort of, you know, he's, you know, self-proclaimed a progressive, you know, going back to your question, I think that there are fears, but you know, if he remains on the side of being willing to rethink our trade deals and does go for some sort of infrastructure spending program, even if, you know, don't get me wrong, again, I'm for immigration for obvious reasons, but also because the evidence suggests that immigration does not affect wages negatively, and it brings lots of, for example, younger workers that provide, funds for Social Security and so on and so forth. So there are many benefits from immigration. But, you know, let's say that he spends, you know, to build a wall and whatever else, you know, he comes up with. So I'm not suggesting that everything is fine. I think we'll have to fight lots of things, even when he goes in the right direction. But some of these things might be in the right direction. Spending on infrastructure should be a no-brainer.
Right.
If he goes for that, Democrats, progressive Democrats, should support him on that.
Absolutely.
And then fight him on the things that he will try to do. He's putting a labor secretary is terrible. He's going to fight against minimum wages. He's going to fight against regulation of corporations. So make him accountable on all of those things. But I think it's less terrible on certain aspects than so. There are certain things that might be useful if the traditional, you know, always pro-business Republican coalition gets slightly incoherent because of him.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, what I'm hearing you say, and I agree with, if I'm hearing it right, is there are things we can work together on, and we should, and there are things that we can't. Well, obviously, you can't, but there are things like that we've been talking about for years, infrastructure spending being at the top of the list.
Yes, that's my point. So, and you could have imagined that those things would have vanished immediately, and you would get Ryan and the Republican. I mean, they're going to do terrible things. They're going to probably end, the Obamacare, and we're going to get lots of people that are going to lose their coverage, kids that, you know, that were on their parents' coverage, people with, you know, pre-existing conditions. So they're going to do lots of terrible things. So I'm not trying to minimize or normalize this guy. But, you know, there are certain things that can be used, and it's a relatively good thing. I mean, there is a reason why a good chunk of working-class people in the Rust Belt voted for him. And Democrats should learn the lesson from that. I'm afraid also on foreign policy, which is not my forte, and I should say the things. But again, one has to be careful. We have to remember that a good chunk of the neocons that were with Bush gave full support to Hillary. So again, I'm there isn't certainty, and this guy is obviously dangerous, but there might be things that we want to rethink, and that progressive Democrats, hopefully with some chance of taking over the party, you know, which would be good, can work with, and we should.
Right. Infrastructure, again, being one of them. And look, you know, last week I talked about a story about the Republicans in Alabama all thrilled with Amtrak, which, you know, you go, wait a second, weren't you trying to destroy Amtrak and privatize it, and now you want federal fundings? In fact, the one mayor, I forget which city it was in Alabama, said it's, you know, it's the federal government's moral responsibility to fund this public transportation. And I'm going, is this the moment where, now that Trump's president, is this the moment that now the Republican Party comes around to the idea to public transportation?
I hope so, and if they do, you know, good for us. So let's take them on this. So that's my point. There are things, and again, trade should be up there too. So the idea that we're going to rethink, again, I don't think, don't get me wrong, I don't think we're going to get a lot of manufacturing jobs back. But if we stop signing these trade agreements, it's a good thing.
Right.
And if we do some industrial policy that stimulates the creation of manufacturing jobs here, that's good too. So there is no reason not to be on board with those things. And by the way, he's not going to get all the votes from the Republican Party on that. So, and we're not going to get all the votes from the Democratic Party. You know, as I said, the same thing goes with Big Pharma. So it's good. I think, for example, it already outed Cory Booker as a sort of a non-progressive on big corporations and pharma. And so he cannot, in 4 years, come as a candidate saying, I'm a progressive, you know. That's not a, you'll have to be accountable to his vote. And so that also will allow us to see who in the I hope the Democratic Party moves to be what it used to be, a party for working class people.
From your lips.
But, you know.
No, from your lips. I mean, that's what I've been calling for over a decade now on this program, for them to steel up the spine and to actually fight for working people and issues that affect working families.
Exactly, but bringing some of the, you know, because there was some sort of consensus between, let's say, the New Democrats and a good chunk of the Republican establishment on these issues. It was very difficult. I mean, Hillary could come out and say, I'm a progressive. Well, you know, she wasn't really. I mean, I think she would have been better. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'm still saying, and I still believe we would have been better with her. Why? Because we would have been fighting to expand, you know, progressive policies, not fighting to defend them. And so I think we would have been better with her. But I think that the right thing was to vote for her, and I'm really concerned about this guy. But on the other hand, by being disruptive, not just of the whole, he's disruptive of the Republican Party too, and of the political process, and that opens up certain gaps that, you know, the progressives within the Democratic Party should use. It should be a mistake to have the same sort of political outlook that Mitch McConnell, you know, had with Obama. So we'll vote no on everything. That there's no reason for that. There are things that favor the working class. We should vote in favor of those. No, they're not many.
No, I'm right there with you. I'm absolutely. And again, infrastructure being one of those, trade policies, absolutely. Those are issues that are important. But healthcare, you know, yesterday, you know, I had the conversation with a well-connected Politico who pushed back on my argument that the Democrats have not done anything for the working class. And he threw out Obamacare and healthcare being one of the number one working class issues. And look, getting people health insurance, I think, is incredibly important. But now what we're seeing is that being taken away. And under the guise, and the reason I one of the other questions I want to ask you is about this, we're hearing this death spiral talk from Paul Ryan and from others about the healthcare industry, about the Affordable Care Act, that it's in this massive death spiral, even though more people bought into it this year than last and then the year before.
Oh, no, it's a disaster that they're going to cut. But first of all, I should say, I was for Obamacare. I think we were short on this. So that's part. It's important to understand the legacy. I think it's a mistake. I don't know who the person was pushing back. I think it's a mistake. Part of the story is, I think Obama, even from the beginning, he wasn't the most progressive of candidates. Most of the people that went for him is because he wasn't the Clinton.
Right.
But it's clear he brought them into, you know, he brought Hillary into the State Department, that he wasn't too far away from them. And that's reflected even in Obamacare. So he didn't go for a public option. And you know, you may say that, well, it was impossible. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. So that's the question.
We'll never know. It was never debated, so we don't actually know.
Exactly. So we don't, you know, but that tells you something that we didn't debate. So I definitely agree that Obamacare should be preserved. And I think this is one of the things in which the Republican Party, I think, is unified. And I think Trump, he has been clear that it has to be, gutted. Probably trying to keep something. It's not clear yet. We'll see pretty soon. But Ryan is also a committed ideologue, so they're going to certainly gut this, and it's going to be a disaster. We're going to have people that will literally die because of this. So they're going to lose coverage, and they're not going to get, several people will not be able to get it if they don't save the pre-existing, which they might not, you know, the pre-existing conditions cause. So this is something that is going to be terrible. Jamie Galbraith has a little book that, you know, it's a few years old, so it was called On the Predator State. And that referred to the governments that started with really Reagan onwards, and it covers basically everybody. I think that this is going to be the predator state, with full vengeance. So this guy is, a guy that it's a vulture predating on the state to make money. He's very clear that he's not disconnecting himself from his businesses. So he is going to use the apparatus of the state to make money for himself and his cronies. what I think pisses off many people on the establishment is that this is Team B. So this is not, you know, the billionaires from Goldman Sachs. This is the millionaires from Goldman Sachs. His Treasury Secretary is the guy that, you know, didn't get to manage the whole, you know, company. He was fired as middle management. You know, they're never fired at this level. He was just, whatever, you know, given a golden parachute.
Move along. Here's your golden parachute.
Yeah.
Move along.
So move along. And, you know, he's just a millionaire. So he's well-to-do, and he managed, you know, he was in Goldman Sachs, but he's not, you know, Paulson or Rubin. He's not. So there is a certain, that's why you have many people, both in the Republican Party and in the Democratic, you know, establishment, that are really afraid about this guy. He is same thing. So he is this, you know, more crass sort of version of the vulture predating on the state, and we are all going to pay for this. Well, not the 1%, but I don't see this as particularly new from that point of view. I do hope it's not guaranteed. That's the thing. I do hope that we take the opportunity to build a coalition that protects the other 99%.
I'm with you. Last question I've got for you. Next Friday, when the big inauguration happens, what will you be doing for the big presentation?
Oh, you mean if I'm going to watch?
You're watching it?
Probably not. I mean, I'm again, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get all of the dirty details in the late night shows and whatnot. I probably would try to avoid. I think there is good reason to not normalize. I mean, there are other things about him that are sort of scary and dangerous. You know, he has spoken in ways that incite xenophobia, racism. And let me be clear, doesn't matter much what he thinks, and I don't think he won the election because of that. You know, the racist and the xenophobic and the misogynist have been voting for the Republican Party since 1964. So since Lyndon Johnson, signed the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
So that's not new. What was new is that he won in the Rust Belt, and those things have to be taken seriously. So, but he does speak in ways that incite the worst in society, and so that's dangerous, and that most people tended to conceal those things, even if they wink. You know, Reagan spoke in coded language to get support from racists from the South, so we all know that. But he at least used coded language. So this guy is retweeting white supremacists. So there is a danger in that in making, and he's bringing Breitbart, you know, to the White House. So I think this is one of those, you know, civil movements to, you know, boycott stuff that he does, that I think it's a good idea. So I most likely won't be watching the whole thing.
This is where we join the resistance and push back on all those evil things that we expect coming. Mateus, I appreciate you taking time for us. Look forward to having you back again real soon.
Sounds good. Me too.
Thank you so much.
Happy New Year.
You as well. Thanks so much. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Coming to talk. We're in a fight to bring the middle class back. And we ain't even planning on losing in this mighty war. The working class is under attack.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.